This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. So I don't know if you heard on the news recently, the 6th of July was the hottest day globally since records began. Hottest day ever. And add to that the forest fires in Canada, the Mediterranean, and now even Hawaii. There's melting sea ice, there's floods in China. The list just goes on, doesn't it? Every day there's more bad news about the climate. It's just relentless, and for many of us, it's the source of huge anxiety. I mean, it's unsurprising we get anxious about it. You know, it's really happening. The climate is becoming more extreme, more quickly than scientists predicted. And now the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, has described what we're experiencing as global boiling. So all that's happening at the same time as the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak flies up to Scotland in an RAF jet and announces that he's giving over 100 new drilling licences for the North Sea and says he's maxing out on North Sea oil and gas reserves. Now, whilst he says that carbon capture will allow us to stay in line with our greenhouse gas goals, many argue that the messaging just does not reflect the urgency of the situation. Whilst the effects of climate change are getting more severe, it feels like our actions are not getting correspondingly more urgent. Yes, it's not all down to politicians, but it's not always clear what we can do. Everything we can do as individuals can just feel small and insignificant, and the climate problem just seems to get bigger. Now, at this point, I'm going to quote from the magnificent Canadian climate scientist, Catherine Hayhoe. She says, "We can't give in to despair. We have to go out and look for the hope that we need to inspire us to act. And that hope begins with a conversation today." The hope begins with a conversation. It's even been scientifically proven. Scientists from Yale University found that having conversations about the climate with friends and family leads people to learn influential facts about the climate, helps persuade them that climate change is real and happening, and increases the chance that they too are more likely to have a discussion about the climate. And those discussions start to take place in boardrooms, in schools, in our homes, and give politicians the confidence to take decisive action. And even if you find that you're talking to someone who agrees with you about the climate, with everything that you're thinking, but never mentioned it before, well, that's great too, isn't it? Because now you both feel boosted to talk more to other people. You feel more normal and more powerful. As the Climate Reality Project put it, you are the secret weapon of awesomeness. And who, frankly, doesn't want to be a secret weapon of awesomeness? So let's get talking about the climate. Yeah, that's where it gets difficult, isn't it? You know, I think perhaps we could do with some help with this. How do we get started? What kind of things do we say? So let's hear from someone who's spent some time thinking about how best to do this and has lots of experience trying out her ideas on her friends and family. Ro Jackson. Ro, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. So how have you found it best to raise the issue of climate with friends and family?
Well, the first thing I would say is always keep it natural. Keep it conversational. If you plan a big speech in your head, it'll come out wrong and nobody wants to be lectured. So keep it natural. Keep it on subjects that you would naturally talk about. So we're English. Let's talk about the weather. Or the news, the awful heat waves in Europe this year, or the series that Chris Packham's just done called Earth, which is actually about extinctions. It explains what an extinction is. So if you don't know about climate change and you don't know what it can do, that's a very good layman's introduction to how it is. So to start the conversation with whatever you would talk to that person about naturally. The weather's a good place, but whatever's comfortable.
Okay, so I suppose also that could come into a conversation about, I don't know, what were you doing yesterday evening? Oh, I was, you know, catching up on Chris Packham and seeing what he was doing. You know, I've been looking at the weather for the weekend. At least it's not as bad as it is in the Mediterranean. That's really concerning, isn't it? There's quite a few, as you say, all really quite natural things that that you can say they're bringing it into the conversation. So how about the opportunities we should look out for just in these conversations? Because I don't know, when you're doing this, do you go into a conversation with the intention of bringing up the climate, or is it just something where you think, oh yeah, actually this is a good opportunity to talk about it?
Well, a bit of both. To start with, it would have definitely been, it's just a good opportunity. Nowadays, people know what to expect when they're talking to me, so they know that I will say something along those lines. But don't overthink it. The harder you try to think what you're going to say, the more likely it is to come out wrong. So, yeah, look for a natural opportunity and use that opportunity.
Okay. And how about how we should pitch this? You said keep this natural. Do you think quoting facts is helpful, or do you think that makes it just sound a bit preachy? But then on the other hand, facts are hard to argue with, aren't they? They're more persuasive, perhaps. What do you think there?
So facts are brilliant, and the more facts you know, the better. But if you're starting talking to somebody who's, we're all on the journey. If you're on the journey at the beginning of the journey, and you don't know what climate change is, saying, oh, well, you need to keep global warming below 2 degrees, that's not going to mean anything to anybody. So although it's a fact, it doesn't make sense. So you want to keep your facts at the level the person can understand. And each person you talk to will be different. Each person's got a different level of understanding. Some people just can't bear thinking about it because there's all too much else going on at the moment. Some people are really clued up, and some people just need a few dots joined. So if you've got the facts, go for it. But that also brings me on to something else that I want to say. If somebody asks you something and you don't have the facts, it's really good to say, actually, I don't know, but I do know how to know, and I'll come back to you with the answer, because that's an absolute winner. That's got you a second chance at the conversation. And sometimes people respect you more if you say you don't know than if you waffle nonsense. So I don't know is a really good answer sometimes.
Yes, indeed. That's a good tip, actually. As you said, it's probably worth having some of the most important facts at your fingertips. But of course, there's an awful lot to know here, isn't there? So obviously there'll be things that we don't know. And how do we avoid sounding preachy, sounding a bit kind of superior, I kind of know best, or whatever? Have you got any tips for us there?
Again, it's know the person you're talking to. You could ask them their opinion. What do they think about what's going to happen? What do they think are the options? Often people are just happy to be told something and discuss it. It's such a variable thing because each person is different. But it is the same as if you were talking to them about what you had for dinner last night. You wouldn't say the same thing to everybody. You'd pitch it at that person. So while I think it's a good idea to rehearse the climate type information that you might want to give your friend, at the same time, don't be too restrictive about it. Be natural. And certainly don't say, well, I know and you're wrong, because that's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah. I like what you said about asking them, because I think to feel that they're involved in this, they're part of this, and their views are appreciated, that often helps, doesn't it?
Oh, I do think so, particularly if you're not pitching yourself as an expert on the subject. You're just pitching yourself as a concerned citizen who knows something and is worried about it. To see what they think, what options they think there might be, is, I think, that's really helpful.
Yeah, indeed. So how about if you try to sneak the climate into the conversation? You've mentioned you were watching Chris Packham. You've said something about that, perhaps the weather in the Mediterranean. Perhaps if the person just doesn't take the bait, or just ignores your fantastic conversation starter, do you keep going with that, or do you just sort of let it go, I suppose?
So I think always when you're talking to somebody, you have to be mindful about what might be going on in their life at that moment. If they're waiting for the bad news on the phone or something that they haven't told you about, they're not going to be interested in what you say. You may have picked the wrong moment. And if you pick the wrong moment, back down gracefully and try again. There's usually a good reason why people don't want to talk to you at that moment. Be kind, as always.
Yeah, indeed. I suppose we have to meet people where they are, don't we? You know, everybody's at a different place in their life and our conversation has to be appropriate to that. And I suppose even if they don't take the bait or want to have the conversation this time, it doesn't mean that in the future they might not wish
Absolutely.
To.
Never underestimate the power of a seed. If you tell somebody something and they appear to brush it off, they may think about it all night and start looking and start to come back and ask again. You don't know. It's always worth planting a seed, but don't try and hammer it home because that won't work.
Yeah, okay. And how about in the situation where people really don't seem convinced, or even worse, if they kind of start to argue with you, start to be a bit confrontational, what would you suggest there? We don't want to lose friends over this, really.
I would suggest backing away because they just might be somebody who likes to argue. You can't force anybody to have your opinion, and the harder you try, the worse it will go.
Have you ever had that happen to you?
Yes, I have had people who they've said something that's ridiculous in response to my response. For instance, I was going up to London to a protest. And they said, oh, I suppose you're going to drive then. I said, no, I'm not going to drive. I'm going on the train like any sensible person would. And people can be very aggressive and decide that you are going to be the most unenvironmentally friendly person because it's easier for them. But the person who actually said that to me 2 weeks later was asking all sorts of interesting questions.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Well, well done for keeping your cool there. And have you had any examples of conversations that you've had that have gone really well, you know, actually perhaps in unexpected circumstances?
So most of the conversations I have actually go well. Often they're snippets of conversations, really. It doesn't develop into a whole lecture. It's a five-minute chat about something before we move on to something else. And then the next time I see that person, they're asking the next set of questions that they've obviously been thinking about in between. And I find that does actually quite often happen.
Okay, that's interesting. And that's kind of encouraging for the rest of us that most of the time this goes well for you, because we sometimes think that you know, people who haven't spoken to us about the climate, they haven't mentioned any concerns that they've got before, actually don't care about it or won't agree with us. But you think that actually most people, even though they're not saying anything, actually they quite often might well agree with you.
Well, I would say it's very unusual on the very first conversation I have with someone for it to go brilliantly. Raising the subject the first time I talk to them, it's getting in more and more detail after that. And it tends to build momentum. I don't think I've ever had anybody who's not been interested in the climate who by the end of the first conversation with me is an absolute staunch supporter. I don't think that's ever happened to me, and I suspect it hasn't happened to most people either.
Okay, but we just have to keep working on this. Well, Ro, it seems to me that you're quite a calm person. You don't seem like much of a panicker, but do you feel anxious about the climate situation?
Oh, absolutely, I do indeed. Whenever I think of my grandson, I feel very anxious about it. And I hate to think what his future looks like and the future of all the other kids at his age, or even perhaps my children, but certainly my grandchild and my grandson. And it worries me enormously, and that's why I keep talking to people about it, signing petitions and things like that, but things that are not going to get me put in prison, but are going to get more and more people, the politicians, to understand that more and more people care.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So the conversations are of practical importance. And how about the way that they make you feel? Do they help you cope with your anxiety about the climate a bit? Does it feel better talking to other people about it?
Oh, absolutely. If I was doing nothing, I would feel awful. You may say that I'm not doing very much because I haven't succeeded in changing the world, but you just need lots of people to change the world a little bit, and that keeps my anxiety down. I think it's the only chance we have. Of course, we need the big ticket things as well, but that we only get the big ticket things if lots and lots of us are on side, and that is the thing that gives me hope for my grandson's future.
Some great tips there from Ro Jackson to help us get started talking about the climate with friends and family and become the secret weapon of awesome that the planet needs. Now, if you're still not convinced or need a bit more help to get you started, then there is plenty of help online. A great place to start is the Sustainable St. Albans website. They've got links to some tremendous resources in the community section under the Talking About It tab, one of which is the TED Talk by Catherine Hayhoe, from which I quoted earlier. It's well worth a watch. And I liked a bit of advice from Jen Gale of Sustainablish, who we've heard from here on Environment Matters before, and who suggested that a really good way to introduce the climate into the conversation is when someone asks you, how are you? So Jen suggests, rather than delivering the usual, oh, fine, thanks, why not try, oh, actually, I'm worried. And then say what it is in particular that's worrying you at the time, fires or floods, or perhaps just that you're worried about climate change and feel that we're not doing enough about it. Perhaps see where it goes from there. I mean, that's just one idea, but it'd be great to hear your ideas or your experiences, good or bad, of trying to have conversations about the climate. I'll share any good points that you have. You can get in touch with me and tell me what you think via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com. Or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. I'll be back at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.